Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Super Church, you guys can take off. If you're visiting and you have kids, we have Super Church for kids downstairs, and you're welcome to use that. Your kids are welcome to stay with you as well. As well as you're welcome to poke your head in sometime down there and see how they do what they do. I want to encourage everybody here to find a Bible. Either you brought one or you have one on your phone. There's a Bible in the pews in front of you, and we're in 1 John, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and the question that we're going to ask today is, do I love my brother? Do I love my brother? 1 John chapter 2, just to get a little bit of context, says this, verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. We treated that last week. Verse 7 says, Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it's a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. John moves in verses 3 through 6 from a theme of keeping his commandments to a very specific example. And the example is one of loving our brother. The old commandment, I just want to walk through this, talk it through. The old commandment, beloved, verse 7, one of John's intimate expressions to those that he's writing to. Beloved, I'm writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. It's an old commandment. We find it in Leviticus 19. We're going to read it in a little while. They had heard it from the beginning, an old commandment which they had heard with their ears as well. So the beginning here isn't Genesis, the book of beginnings, that he's referring to. Rather, it's the beginning of Jesus and his ministry. And in Jesus' ministry, he always emphasized love and light. The beginning is referenced in 2 John chapter 5 as well. Let me read that. 2 John, just a couple pages over. Verse 5, And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. So it's a very similar theme to chapter 2 of John, 1 John. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. And he gave us there a specific reference to Jesus' words in John 13, which was the last week of his life, where he said, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And we're going to read that here in a minute. From the beginning, if we're back in 1 John, is referenced in, I want to read a couple of them, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 2, verse 7 that we just read, chapter 2, verse 24, chapter 3, verse 11, 1 John 1, 1, that which was from the beginning, and we remember this, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Very specific reference to Jesus and his physical earthly ministry from the beginning. Chapter 2, verse 24, let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. So clearly speaking of Jesus, clearly references his words. In chapter 3, verse 11, For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And so he takes this beginning not back to the book of beginnings, though it was true also in the Old Testament that we love one another. We'll read that in a minute. But Jesus put a new emphasis on it. Loving was an Old Testament command from the law written by Moses, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, where they were instructed to love their neighbors. It reminds me of the Good Samaritan parable and the question that Jesus would ask: who was his neighbor? Was it the priest? Was it the Levite? Or was it the Samaritan? Well, the priest didn't do very good. The Levite didn't do very good, but the Samaritan did. He loved his neighbor. You shall not, it says in Leviticus 19, verse 18, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And look at what he's saying here. Love your neighbor as yourself. So this would be the opposite of loving your neighbor as yourself, taking vengeance or bearing any grudge against another, holding something against somebody. So part of that, do I love somebody, is am I holding anything against them? And to be honest, it's our normal, natural nature to hold things against people. It would be our new Christ-like light nature to not hold things against people. So it's a spiritual battle that's going on within us all of the time. What we know about the law, it was holy. It showed God in his holiness. It shows us in our sinfulness. They had instruction to love their neighbor. They just didn't do it. Nobody did it. Notice that not loving was to take vengeance or to bear grudge against anyone. Jesus also spoke about love in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, if you want to turn there, I'll read it, where it says this in verse 43, you've heard that it was said you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Love your neighbor is that Leviticus 19:18 passage, and hate your enemy. You've heard that it was said, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. It's unnatural for us to do that. It's spiritually natural with our new nature for us to do that. It would be unnatural for us not to do that. And yet there's this battle that goes on inside of us because of our flesh. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to shine on the evil and on the good, sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So God, the one who's able to control weather, He lets it rain on those that honor him and on those that don't honor him. He's kind. And he says that he causes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Does not even IRS do the same? He says tax collectors, that's IRS. If we love the people that love us, we're just responding to them. There isn't anything within us that causes us to love them, no matter who they are or what they are. And Jesus raised the bar. You've heard love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I'm raising the bar and saying love everyone. Those who hate you, those who use you, those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. My new nature in Christ, his Holy Spirit indwelling me, motivates me and encourages me to love other people regardless of how they treat me. That's what John is saying also, just in a different way. Walk in love and you're walking in the light. Walk in love and you're walking as he walked. And we should walk as he walked. Loving God and loving others weren't unheard of commands. They just weren't commands that were kept. They weren't obeyed. It's a new command, one person says. It's a new command seems to mean that the command to love was first genuinely realized in Jesus, and now it's realized and should be realized in those who follow him, because his nature has taken up residence within them. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way that he walked, it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. I want to remind us of something that we read last week. Jesus was asked, which is the great commandment in the law? Of all of the Old Testament, this Pharisee lawyer came to him. Maybe he was genuine. Maybe he wasn't.
says he was trying to test him, so he wasn't genuine. Of all of the commandments that are in the Old Testament, what's the greatest? What's the biggest? What's the most significant? And this is what Jesus said to him. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. From Genesis all the way through Malachi, it all depends upon, it all hangs upon loving God with all of our heart and loving our neighbor as ourself, is what he's saying. The first is found in Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And the other, the second is found in Leviticus 19, verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord God. Jesus was consistent throughout his ministry. It was a known commandment. It just wasn't obeyed. Jesus emphasized his kingdom being a kingdom of light. He consistently emphasized his kingdom being a kingdom of love as well. John 13, Jesus was in the upper room. You might want to turn there. I'm going to read a couple of verses from there. Jesus was in the upper room where he had celebrated the Passover and instituted the Lord's Supper like we just participated in with his 12. He had washed his disciples' feet, emphasizing the significance and importance of serving one another. It was the last days of his earthly life, and it says in verse 31 of John 13, when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God also will glorify him in himself and glorify him at once," immediately, straightway, forthwith. Verse 33, little children, and I wonder when we look at 1 John, if John gets the intimate words that he uses for his readers from what Jesus used to speak to him. He calls his readers little children, my beloved. And I wonder if he gets this from Jesus. Little children, Jesus said, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. They had never experienced anyone loving them as Jesus had loved them. It was back in Leviticus 19. They were supposed to do it. They just didn't do it. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have a love for one another. It was his message in Matthew 5. It was his message in Matthew 22. It was his message in John 13. Later, it's the message of 1 John. It's the message of 2 John. It's the message of Romans 13, verse 8, Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. We're supposed to love one another, because it's the character of God that's coming out of us. It isn't that I roll my sleeves up and say, I'm going to love them, that cantankerous person. But sometimes we have to engage our will. It should be a natural, normal thing, because the Spirit of God lives within me and he lives it out of me. And so when I'm not loving someone, I have to beat down that flesh. It isn't that I have to pump up that spirit so that I can do what it is that God wants me to do. I am what I am by the grace of God, and I am whose I am and indwelt by who I am by the goodness and the grace of God. Amen? I lost my place. Love one another. I thought about creating a list of 5 or 6 things that indicate if I'm walking in love or walking in hate, because we like our lists. And if I can check off my list, then I'm walking in love. And if I can't check off my list, I'm able to correct something. I don't think it's a bad idea. Maybe you should create your own list. I don't think I'm supposed to spoon feed that. I don't think that's healthy. Sometimes we like to think there's a middle ground, probably so we have a place to put people that we don't want to love. We know we're not supposed to hate them. I don't want to do that. We know that's not of God. That would be walking in darkness. But I really don't want to love them either. And so I'm going to create this neutral area. And I want to ask you to open your Bible to the place in Scripture where you find the neutral area. And it's not there. It's second opinions, my opinion, but it's not there. A person greatly used of the Lord one time, that's what someone that Kathy and I know said about someone else that we said, that we know. We would think it would be like some pioneer missionary or a great Puritan preacher or a theologian. And this guy that was greatly used of the Lord, that was the declaration of one of our friends upon another, was cantankerous. He was difficult. He was demanding. And the reason he was greatly used of the Lord is because the Lord used him to make other people search out their hearts on why they wanted to put him in the neutral area. Because they couldn't hate him, but he surely wasn't all that loving either. And so we have to be careful. There is no neutral area. Rather than create a list that might be good, how about this? This is your spiritual homework if you choose to do so. Find a time and be still before the Lord. And maybe you'll want a pen and a paper. And I'd plan more than 2 or 3 minutes if your heart's anything like my heart. And I'm guessing it is. And ask the Lord, who don't I love? And just be quiet. And see whose picture comes to your mind. How is it that I don't love this person? And see what the Lord impresses upon your heart. Who is it that I hate? Who do I want to put in the neutral zone, which doesn't exist, but I don't want to love them? And see what God impresses upon your heart. The characteristic of being as our fathers are from John, Matthew chapter 5, or from what John has to say in 1 John chapter 2, is that we love other people because that's who God is. And he's taken up residence within us. And his character and his nature should live out in our lives as well. Loving others is both an old commandment and a new commandment. Look at chapter 2, verse 7, 1 John. Last part of it says, the old commandment is the word that you have heard. It wasn't anything new. At the same time, kind of a play on words, at the same time, it's a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. We don't have heaven on earth, and sometimes that's why we have some difficulties. We know the Lord, and we want everyone in our nation and all of Washington, D.C., and everyone else to do everything that's right. We don't have heaven on earth. The new heaven and the new earth, Revelation 21, aren't here yet. The old hasn't passed away, a verb tense that is presently happening. The new Jerusalem hasn't come down out of heaven from God yet, but the countdown is already happening. John said, the light is here and it's shining brighter and the darkness is fading and it will fade away. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 says, children, it is the last hour. 2,000 years ago, he described it as the last hour. How much closer must we be now? Darkness is passing away. It's fading away. His light is shining. He is the light. And we should shine as well, loving our enemies, loving those who persecute us, loving those who mistreat us, loving our brothers, because that's characteristic of who he is. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. What does hating my brother look like? How many people have I placed or am I placing right now in the neutral zone that I really hate? I just don't want to admit it. I don't want to call it what God has to call it, which isn't characteristic of who we should be. You know what happens when we find that we put people in that neutral zone or we have a dislike or a hate for someone? God begins to work not on them, but on my heart. Because that's not characteristic of who he is inside of me. Can I tell you a story? It was a long time ago now. And I could put a name on the story, and she has passed and gone on with the Lord. I was janitor over at Redbridge, and there was a lady there that was not easy to love. She was in my neutral zone. She wasn't my boss, but she was bossy. She demanded things from me, not bubbly or friendly, but just kind of demanding, always had insight. So much so that if I knew she was downstairs, I would go out of my way to find another path so that I could go upstairs and not have to encounter her. She was in my neutral zone. I knew I wasn't supposed to hate her. I didn't hate her, but I didn't love her the way God wanted me to love her. And if there's love and hate and no neutral zone, you figure it out. And so what did God do? He started working in my heart. And I realized, she's not going to change. So God changed me. And I started praying that. And the next thing you know, her countenance started changing. Maybe it was that way all along, and I just couldn't see it. There are people that we don't want to love. We know we're not supposed to hate. And so we throw them into this neutral zone that's non-existent. You get before the Lord and ask him, who is it that I'm not loving? And see what he brings to your mind. Because what's characteristic of him is that I love others. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? Follow our Lord and walk even as he walked, even when it's painful and difficult? What should I do when I realize I don't love somebody? Well, the first thing we should do is admit it. Be honest. Call it what it is. I don't love them. Don't stop there, but it's the only place to start. Remember who Jesus is and what he taught. He loved those who persecuted him. He gave his body on the cross for us when we were enemies, it says over in Romans. He shed his blood when we weren't seeking him. There's none that seek God, no, not one. And yet he did that. Remember, after you remember who Jesus is and that he loved, remember who I am, not all by myself, but who I am in Jesus Christ. I have the Spirit of God living within me. I have the life-giving Word of God that affects my heart and my life as well. So remember who I am in Christ. If someone has, this needs to be said, if someone has wickedly abused you, and that happens. If we have a group this size, it has happened. That does not mean that you trust them and get in the same room with them at all. But you don't want to walk in darkness, do you? Because to walk in darkness would be contrary to walking in the light, and we want to walk according to the one that we follow. And so we have to be very, very careful. You might start by learning to walk in love with someone that's a little bit easier, like the gal at Redbridge that was downstairs when I was upstairs. Jesus loved, and that characteristic should be true of his followers as well. Verse 9 says, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. The light is shining. I can see where I'm going. I don't trip and fall. Verse 11, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9 equates walking in love with walking in light and abiding in light with no need to worry about stumbling because I can see. I can see where I'm going because the light of God sheds and it illuminates everything around me. To walk in darkness, though, is to hate my brother, walk in darkness, and I will stumble. I won't know where I'm going because that darkness blinds my eyes. So here's what happens. I hate somebody, though I don't want to call it that, so I'm going to place them in neutral. I hate somebody, maybe I admit it, maybe I pretend they're in the neutral zone and that I can control it. And God, through John, says, you can't control that because you're blind. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall because you can't see, because you're not walking in love. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew 5, you have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder,
and whoever murders will be liable for judgment. But I say to you, so this is what was said, but I'm saying to you, and he raises the bar, that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Angry with anybody right now? Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So that's a big deal on what's going on in my heart. So it doesn't have anything to do with that person. They're just revealing what's going on in my heart. I'm not saying they're a good person. That's a different deal. They're going to give an account before God, and I can trust him. He's going to do what's right. He always has, always does. But he's working in my heart. He's saying, let me continue. We'll be liable if you say you fool, hell of fire. So if you offer, listen to the, look at the priority here. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. So I'm standing in line to observe the Lord's Supper, and I'm saying, God, search my heart, and he searches my heart, and I have this person that I've placed in neutral or that I hate. He doesn't say continue to observe the Lord's Supper. He says, stop right there. Go take care of it, and then come back and genuinely worship me. That's what's characteristic of me. That's what Jesus demonstrated as well. If as a believer I find myself hating, it should bring conviction. It's about my heart. I'm not saying that the person that I'm hating is an angelic person. But I have something in my eye. And how can I correct them? That's what we want to do. How can I correct them until I first take out of my eye what's impeding? You remember the name Martin Burnham? Martin Burnham was a missionary to the Philippines. They were captured by Abu Sayyaf. Gracia, his wife, continues to live. He lost his life during that captivity. This is one of the things, I didn't anticipate the emotion. This is one of the things that Martin told his wife, Gracia, about the terrorists. These terrorists, this situation has caused God to show me how much hate I have in my heart. It was inflicted upon him, and yet God, because he's conforming Martin and you and I to the image of Christ, wants to weed out everything that hinders the light shining and us loving the way he desires for us to love. So that doesn't make them angelic by any stretch of the imagination, but God continues to work in the hearts of his children. So if he's working in your heart, and he does mine, and I've got my little neutral zone, and I try, you know, I use my second opinions, chapter 1, verse 1, and this is why I'm supposed to do this, and that's just a joke, it's not true. And I try and go there, and the Lord doesn't let us go there, because he's wanting to root out all of the unrighteousness and cleanse our hearts so that we walk and follow Jesus the way he desires that we follow him. Thank God that he was conforming Martin to Jesus' image. And thank God that he's conforming you and I to his image as well. And so what John does in 1 John chapter 2 is he says, if you're a child of Christ, if you're his, you're going to keep the commandments because it's part of the new nature that you have. And then he zeroes in and gives a very specific commandment. And the commandment is just the bullseye, and that's that we love one another. Intimate, experiential knowledge of Christ, of light, is to walk in his love. Hatred, someone wrote, is a kind of internal stumbling block which can lead to disastrous spiritual falls. I would say will lead to disastrous spiritual falls, but the calamities to which hatred leads are avoidable by the one who loves his brother, who loves others. Are there cantankerous, difficult, hard-to-love people out there? Yep. And you might be that person to someone else too. But be encouraged, the darkness is passing away, John says. There's a day coming, and it has already begun, where love will prevail. There will not be darkness, there won't be any hatred. So what if or when I struggle with hating rather than loving someone, what can I do? You could ask yourself a couple of questions. Am I spending time in God's Word? It's a life-giving, life-breathing Word that's able to discern our thoughts and the intents of our heart. So if I'm not spending time in His Word, I'm not plugged into the source of power. Am I spending time in His Word? Am I quick to respond to the leading and the conviction of the Holy Spirit? When God's Spirit puts something upon my mind and it's wed to the Word of God always, am I quick to respond or do I hesitate? I think it's Piper that says he gives himself about 4 seconds, because after 4 seconds, he starts justifying why he doesn't need to respond to the things that God's Spirit's telling him and directing him to do. Do I find myself praying for or against difficult people, or even being willing to mention them in prayer at all? Because after all, they're not loved, but they're not hated. They're just kind of in neutral, which doesn't exist. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in Him there is no cause for stumbling. Let's pray together. Father, we bow before You, acknowledge and recognize our tendency to look at the outward appearance and judge people by how they make us feel or things that they do for us, and yet we see You loving, placing restrictions, but we see You loving no matter how You were abused. And I pray that You would teach us to love in the way and the manner that You loved as well. I pray that You'd give us complete honesty as we evaluate our hearts, and I pray that each one of us would evaluate our hearts. Be still before You and ask the question, who am I not loving? How is it that I'm not loving them? Is there anyone that I am hating? Recognizing that it is not consistent with Your character that dwells within us. Have Your way in each one of our hearts, I pray. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.